stuck. That isn't what I meant.
It was never what he meant.
Do you think that's really what I'm... you know, maybe this number doesn't show me off in the best light.
It's going into the dumper anyway. I could just smell it.
Roll the credits. All right. Thank you to Grandma, Granddad Michael, my sisters Amma and Absolutely, my co-producers Mike Sabbath, Tom Richards, Chris Hill, Pete Clements, Jordan Riley, Tone World, Punctual, Hans Zimmer and his team at Bleeding Fingers, Hendrik Boenk, Russell Emmanuel, and a special thank you to Al Green and Matthew Johnson, and Mr. Reverend Charlie Hodges. Thank you to Alex Robinson, my engineer, Tony Maserati, John Castelli, and Andrew Dudman on the mixing. Thank you to additional vocals, Katie Hill, Patrice Copeland, and Layla Leon. Thank you to the band, Matt Brooks, Liv Thompson, Daniela Bernard, Paulie Murray, Joe Webb, Graham Blevins, Mike Cordone, Ivan Mailspin, Matthias Simmons, Dan Ellis, Orky Haas, Oscar Steeler, the string players, Kirsty Mangan, Dan Oates, Matthew Ward, Paloma Deek, Sam Kennedy, Emma Owens, Rachel Lander, and Richard Phillips. The big band, Ed Richardson, George Hogg, Mike Davis, Tom Dennis, Tom Walsh, Ryan Quigley, Callum Owl, Nicole Thompson, Andy Wood, Trevor Myers, Howard McGill, Mike Lesurge, Paul Booth, John Chenoy, and Jesse McGinty. The London Symphony Orchestra, John Mills, Claire Duckworth, Jeanette DeCoypo, Lauren Dixon, Maxine Kwok, William Melvin, Stefano Mangoli, Lauren Cannell, Harriet Rayfield, Olat Ruiz, Diego de Huela, David Ballesteros, Sylvain Vasseur, and Grace Lee, Thomas Norris, Mia Vaisanen, Helena Bucky, Matthew Gardner, Nayoko Keatley, Alix Lagasse, Belinda McFarlane, Ivona Mushinska, Chilla Fulgani, Paul Robson and Eleanor Fagg, Ivind Ringstadt, Julianne Haddo, Malcolm Johnson, Thomas Beard, Herman Clavior, Steve Domer, Julia O'Riordan, Sophia Silva Souza, Robert Turner, Liz Varlow, Laura Ludonte, Alistair Baden, Daniel Gardner, Amanda Truelove, Joanna Twaddle, Petaris Sokolovskis, Anna Beryl and Henry Hargraves, Paul Kimber, Patrick Lawrence, Thomas Goodman, Ben Griffiths, Philip Nelson, Evangeline Tang, Elizabeth Bird, Bryn Lewis, Gareth Davis, Imogen Royce, Hannah Grayson, Rosie Jenkins, Chris Richards, Tom Lessels, Yerne Albrecht, Daniel Jemison, Philip Munns, Daniel Curzon, Timothy Jones, Olivia Gandhi, Catherine Saunders, Andrew Sutton, James Fountain, Adam Wright, Katie Smith, Toby Street, James Davison, Simon Johnson, Jonathan Hollick, Paul Milner, Dan West, Ben Thompson, Nigel Thomas, Patrick King, David Jackson, Jacob Brown, Mark Bouzy. Additional instrumentation, Distant Cowboy, Yasmin Al-Mazidi, Rita Andrade, James Madren, Tom Corley, Hal Ritson, Aaron Emmanuel, Aaron Yannick, Uncle Kofi, Flames Collective, Andy Gilbert, Alec Balabanov, Angel Lunda, Bella Hales, Colby Ashby, Daphne Mikalithis, Dia Day, Dia Sohi, LMA Torbett, Emily Batt, Emre Nalbantolu, Imaya Summers, Isabel Metal, Joanna Georgiou, Katie Jones, Leo Hui, Lina Oviosa, Nad Etzioni, Naomi Simon, Olivia Rochester Holness, Ashane Thompson, Promise Kadri, Rachel McCasser, Rashad Cayenne Davis, Ruby Langthorne, Scarlett Cecile, Shanae Lynch, Shelby Sophia Trotman, Tiger Lily Jonathan, Victoria Ho, Technical Team, Antoine Klein, Charlie Howe, Neil Dawes, Chris Parker, Mike Hillier, Jules Bonnet, Molly Kramer, Harp Sangira, Joe Bryce, Sanjana Walia, Matt Bartram, Paul Norris, Cecilia Griffin, Matisse Urbuz, Paulin Giraudon, Soledad Pusielge Melia, Enrique Andrade, Clay Jones, Scott McEwen, Liam Nolan, Noah Uria, Raymond Bretterbauer, Jenna Felsenthal, Bleeding Fingers, Marsha Bow, Harsha Thangarala, Fine Line Music Service, Nashville Music Scoring Orchestra, Alan Umstead, Nick Spezia, Alan Mayerson, Charlie Paxton, Roman Soto. And finally, thank you to my team, who are literally my mum and my dad, Lucrezia, Scarlett Sharp, Alexandra Dilo, Mikey Robbins, Aaliyah Ochir, and Sibling, my team. Love you guys. Thanks for listening to this album. Can't believe it. I can't believe it. It's finally yours. It's finally out there. It's finally yours. All right. Just take care of it and listen to it again and again and share it with your friends. And just know that I really love making music and I want to do this for the rest of my life. And thanks for supporting me. And thank you. I love you. I love you. This is the album. Oh, and thank you to my distribution, Human Resources and Jay Irving. Shout out you guys who believed in me when literally no one else would take my first album. So thank you for taking it and making a second one with me. I love you guys. I love you. The end.
I'm sorry, I had to. Forget it. That was Ray with the closing credits from her new album, This Music May Contain Hope. She thanks everyone, including every player in the London Symphony Orchestra. It was wonderful. Gus Bodenheim before that. Omar Sosa did Iyawo. Nostalgia 77 Sessions featuring Keith and Julie Tippett did Okinawa. And Gus again. Stay tuned for Well-Dressed Dandies with Ken and Andes. Tonight, Andy will solve your unsolved mysteries. Coming up at 6 o'clock Eastern here, followed by 21 Lounge with Don Fleming, who will also be hosting Honky Tonk Radio Girl in place of Becky from 8 to 9, and then Sydney from 9 to midnight. My name's Irwin. I'll be back next Wednesday, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Stay tuned for Ken and Andy. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM, online at WFMU.org.
Welcome to Well-Dressed Dandies with Ken and Andy, and now literally phoning it in from Montreal, Canada, the host of Well-Dressed Dandies, Andy Breckman.
Hey, Kenny. The new theme song sounds a lot like our old theme song.
Oh, no, it's completely different.
The melody sounds very similar to me.
Well, you know how borrowing in music goes back centuries.
But the lyrics also are very, very similar. Almost.
Yeah, I wouldn't
almost
say.
Almost word for word.
Really. I wouldn't say word for word. I'd say maybe every fifth or sixth word is changed.
I wouldn't call it. I don't know if you could legally call it a new theme song.
No, it's new. It's new.
Okay.
New as the morning rain.
See, the morning rain also, I don't know if you could call that new. I mean, it rains. It's been raining for centuries.
But it's different rain every time it rains. It's not the same water.
Really, you can look at the rain and say that's different than the rain we had Thursday. Really?
Yeah. The rain we had Thursday has flowed down into the rivers and into the ocean.
You're a sensitive, sensitive soul. It looks very much like the rain we had Thursday.
Well, it might look similar.
It looks like a continuation of the rain we had Thursday.
Just like our new theme song sounds similar to the old theme song. But in fact, it's very, very different. Did you like the whole new thing about how well-dressed we are and what dandies we are? You didn't catch that part?
I did not catch that. No, oh. No. But we're looking for new candidates. Is that contest still open?
Yes. 2 weeks from tonight, we're going to play any new candidates for a new theme song. I think I've received three so far.
Three submissions. Okay.
So send them to me at ken@wfmu.org. And 2 weeks from tonight, we'll play them all.
Or you could send them to me at ken@wfmu.org. And why don't you repeat the new name of our show, because any songwriter would want to include that.
It's Well-Dressed Dandies with Ken and Andy.
And do you have a certain style of music that you would prefer to hear, or you're leaving that wide open?
Funny you should ask that, Andy, because I was thinking how great it would be if it sounded Victorian and foppish, you know, like a harpsichord, I'm thinking.
You don't know what the hell you're talking about, do you?
You know, well-dressed dandies, something that uh-huh. invokes well-dressed dandies, like if you know the metal band The Upper Crust.
Are they still together? Are they still touring?
I don't believe they are. I'm sorry.
They were great live.
They were great live, especially their costumes. But something that sounds like, you know, it came out of Victorian England. Harpsichord, semi-classical.
You know, I don't trust any band that comes out in a costume.
Really?
That's kind of icky.
The Beatles wore costumes.
The Beatles, yeah, started out in suits, right?
Yeah, but Sgt. Pepper era, they were wearing costumes.
Okay, but they ended up on that rooftop just wearing what they wore that morning.
Yeah, but they had to go through costumes to get there.
Look, I'm not going to debate with you about the Beatles costumes.
Paul Revere and the Raiders wore costumes. The Banana Splits.
Did they? Paul Revere and the Raiders?
Yeah.
Or did they just all coincidentally happen to wear that on the day of the photo shoot?
No, they were definitely wearing costumes.
Yeah, they were. They were on theme.
So you
what
like
other bands? What other bands wear costumes?
Oh, there's so many. Gwar, the Mummies. Jeez, I mean, it's an endless list. The Residents.
Now, I'm a fan of Paul Revere.
Yeah.
And the Raiders, but that might be the only costume band I probably ever bought their records.
The Banana Splits?
Yeah, the Banana Splits.
The Wombles?
Yeah, what do they all have in common? No one likes them.
Costumes.
Costumes.
Costumes is what they have in common.
Yeah. This is their manager at their meeting. Listen, guys, in lieu of talent, I have an idea. We all go down to the Salvation Army, and we buy Cub Scout uniforms.
There are just hundreds.
It's either that, guys. It's either that or writing memorable tunes.
Kiss. What about Kiss?
Exactly.
You're a big fan of Kiss.
QED. I prove my point.
Oh my gosh, there's just so many. You can't discount bands that wear costumes.
Yes, you can. I bet you a nickel I can.
Thousands of them.
I know. My son Josh and my son-in-law saw a concert up here in Montreal last weekend, a Montreal band.
Oh,
it was
yeah.
The two-man band. What the hell were their names?
Oh, yeah, Angine de Poitrine.
Yeah, it was the hottest ticket in town.
Did you go see him?
No, I made it a point not to go see them.
Speaking of costumes, they've got some great costumes.
No, they don't have some great costumes.
Yes, they do, Angine.
I've seen them.
A really big, long nose?
Yeah, exactly. It's like they're auditioning for some Warner Brothers cartoon or something.
I can't believe that was they are Canadian. That's why it was such a big hot ticket.
I think it's a local band here. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was the night of a new album drop.
Gotcha. Wow. So your son Josh is a fan of Angine de Poitrine.
He called it one of the best shows he's ever seen.
I bet.
I gave him a big hug after that.
They're very proggy.
Yeah, they're very proggy.
So you like those bands that just wear a flannel shirt and ripped jeans?
I like the band. The band comes out and they're wearing whatever they wore that morning. They're the band.
The band wore costumes, for crying out loud.
They did not. You take that back.
Yeah, sure they did. The band dressed like they were freaking coal miners. That's a costume.
Oh, on the album jacket for the second album?
Yeah. They were definitely dressed up in costume.
What band, name a band that has never worried about what they were wearing that day?
Bob Dylan! Your beloved Bob Dylan wore a costume during the Rolling Thunder review. He wore a white face.
That was more than a costume.
Yeah.
That was a trick-or-treat outfit. He went right from there going door-to-door for candy. right from the Rolling Thunder review.
Joan Baez dressed up as him during the Rolling Thunder review. So she wore...
Name a band that has never once worried about what they were wearing.
Loggins and Messina.
Okay. I'll buy that album today.
Yeah, boy, were they great.
Well, Loggins was great. I think Loggins carried that group.
So did we do the costumed bands bit?
Oh, you're so funny. Did you do the Andy Breckman bit just now?
No, I did it, but I didn't really do it well. I messed it up.
You did. No, you did great.
Okay.
You did great, Kenny.
Another thing is Andy is in Montreal, Canada, working on his new TV show, and I need clips for those weeks when Andy can't make it. So if any listeners out there can isolate anything from about 20 seconds to 5 minutes long and make an MP3 or a WAV file of it, send it to me at ken@wfmu.org.
Yeah.
Looking for audio clips so I can do more.
We're looking for moments that disturbed you the least.
Yeah. No, I've been told, I can't guarantee that this is true, but I've been told that every once in a while, there's a moment on this program that is laugh out loud funny.
I think we say LOL.
This is what some people have told me. So we're looking for proof.
Can I tell you the truth, Ken? And this is a secret and that I don't think I've ever revealed to you or to anyone.
Okay.
Sometimes when I'm texting people and I write LOL in the text, I'm not actually laughing out loud. In fact, in most cases, I'm masturbating.
What does it mean, LOL?
No, I don't know. I mean, I'm kind of lying. I'm kind of misleading them.
So
they think I'm laughing.
So LOL means I'm masturbating? That's what
in many cases it does, but I don't want to say that. It's kind of off-putting. So I just say LOL.
Usually people type H-O-I-M. Hang on.
I don't know what that means.
Hang on, I'm masturbating.
I'm masturbating.
That's what the cool kids say.
You know what I would love when you're texting? I would love a button, like a shortcut kind of button that says, like if somebody texts you a joke or something, that says, Andy Breckman liked but did not love, and then it repeats the message. Because the only option you have is Andy liked. I'm sorry, the only option you have is Andy loved.
Loved, yeah.
But I don't love a lot of things.
Yeah. No, it's true. And the thumbs up emoji?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be better if it was an animated hand that, like, can't decide whether it's
yeah,
thumbs?
the waving hand, yeah.
Right, like the way the Emperor of Rome would, like, you know, kind of waver between up and down?
No, the Emperor of Rome never wavered.
Oh, yeah,
The Emperor of Rome had to go thumbs up or thumbs down.
No, but they wanted...
What would happen if the Emperor said, I'm really stuck here, guys. I can't quite decide. I'm going to need a minute.
Oh, my God. Have you never seen Gladiator? The Emperor likes to keep the Colosseum in suspense. So he holds...
But at some point before it got dark, I mean, the lighting system in the Colosseum was wanting, you know, was not 100%. Before it got dark, he had to give a thumbs up or thumbs down.
Of course, eventually. But at first, he's holding it horizontal. Like, oh, you don't know which way is he going to go.
Is that how you do things after the marathon when everyone's worried about getting laid off there?
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, they all gather in your office?
Yeah.
Ken, what about this? What about this disc jockey? And then your hand goes up?
My hand goes up and I hold the thumb horizontally for about 20 minutes.
Everybody just holds their
breath? And everybody, yeah.
It's one of the reasons you're very difficult to work for.
Oh, no, people love that bit. They love it. They love it.
Yep. I see you raised $7,000 last week during the marathon. I was expecting a little more.
Hey, so how's your TV show going?
Well, my hand is out now. It's wavering.
Oh.
You don't know which way the thumb's going to go.
Oh, that's not good.
Well, my thumb's up. It's okay. Really going very well.
It's going well. Oh, great. You're doing photography?
It's going well. We're shooting. Yeah, we're shooting as we speak. It's going so well that I expect it to go off the rails any minute.
Oh, it's going so well that you're expecting it to go badly.
How could this go? How could this continue going so well?
Wow.
After all, it's life. Life doesn't go smoothly for forever.
And that super hot male lead, Matthew Gubler, he's working out.
Yeah, he's a friend and a partner, and I think it'll be great. I'm proud of the show.
Uh-huh.
So something will go wrong soon. So you don't worry about that, Ken. I'll be home soon.
Who's the life of the set?
I'll be canceled soon enough. It's funny you ask. Everybody on my payroll mm-hmm. seems to think I'm really, really funny.
Yeah. Well, that's because you pay them.
Oh, wait, hold on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause and effect, yes, oh, now that you mentioned it.
Are you saying that you're the life of the set?
It seems to be. They find me very amusing. But now that you mention it, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, they're on my payroll.
Yeah, try not paying them for a couple of payrolls.
And we'll see what happens. Okay, good. Yeah, yeah, good.
Just a little test. I do that here. It works out great.
I know you do. I'm living proof of that. I'm exhibit A of that. Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you try not paying him for a while, Kate?
Oh, they appreciate it that much more when you finally do pay him. Then yeah. it's like mana from heaven.
Maybe I'll pay some and not pay others, like a, you know, placebo.
Yeah. Oh, that's like a good idea.
Like a straight up test.
Yeah.
We'll see who enjoys my company more after a few days of that.
Why don't you pay some of your staff in U.S. dollars
yeah.
and some of them in Canadian dollars?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see who walks off the set first.
So we actually had an idea tonight.
Yeah.
There we
go.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done. 17 minutes.
Thank you.
Gone.
Yeah. 17 killed. Minutes killed. Well, we haven't.
Well done, buddy.
We haven't spoken in a while. Last week, Nadia and Matt filled in for us. Thank you, Nadia and Matt.
How did that go?
Oh, went great. Went great. They talked about memes. Very good show. And the week before, What did we do? Oh, the week before it was How Tall Are the WFMU DJs?
Yeah.
And
did we end up giving away any prizes? Did anyone score?
Yes. The other Nadia won. So I sent Nadia and her two brothers a bunch of stickers. And there is one correction on the height of all the DJs that we gave out. Some people were saying I was making it all up.
Okay.
I wasn't, but I did get the height of one person wrong.
Okay.
John Allen, I reported that he was 4'11".
Okay.
In fact,
yeah,
4'10½".
Oh, Lord. You adjusted him downward.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, we should we should get a list of the DJs and have people put them in order of who is the most emotionally mature.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I wonder if anyone would get that.
I'm also going to get all the DJs to send me pictures of their tattoos. So that
so you can match them with their DJs.
Yeah, DJs can, so the listeners can match them, yeah.
Exactly. Oh, that would be great. Like you would list 5 tattoos and 5 DJs and see if anyone could match them perfectly.
Right. That's going to be a feature in the next issue of our magazine, LCD.
Oh, I thought you were pitching it as a future show of ours.
Yes, it's going to be a future show of ours. That's what I meant to say.
Well, I know you and I both have tattoos.
Yes, multiple. Multiple tattoos.
Don't remind me.
Yeah,
you've
got some dangerous ones.
Yeah.
You've got some that might get you deported. Not me.
I don't know what you're referring to there.
You have some tattoos from criminal organizations is what I'm saying.
Oh, I do have the Crips, yeah.
Yeah.
On my lower back, yeah.
Yeah, so...
What was I thinking?
What were you thinking, man?
I don't remember. I can't remember what I was thinking just 2 minutes ago.
So anyway, Andy's an expert on solving crimes. That's what all of his...
I've been reading mystery and true crime my whole life, and I've been writing mystery and crime stories for many, many years, and I think I'm pretty good. I think I can think like a real detective now.
And your TV shows are always about fighting crime and solving crimes.
So I can offer my services if you have a mystery in your life, an unsolved mystery in your family or at work or in your neighborhood. I'll give you some examples. Something was broken and everyone is denying culpability.
Mm-hmm.
I can maybe solve that mystery if you give me all the information. Maybe something is missing. Some money has been stolen or has gone missing. Maybe something has been mislaid and it's a mystery. Maybe you have a relative who's been acting strangely and perhaps I can sort of help you figure out what's going on in his or her life. But I'm pretty good at this.
These are great examples. Did you just make
shut up.
Did you just make up all those examples?
Oh, please shut up.
Because I could only think of one example.
Yeah, thank you, Ken.
My example was...
What was yours?
Somebody stole my garbage can.
Did they? Is that a real-life mystery?
Real-life mystery. And I finally solved it. I finally solved it, but it was driving me crazy.
It probably was a neighbor.
It was the morning after the garbage had been picked up and my garbage can was missing. I became convinced that it was a contractor. There were a couple of houses down the street that were under construction, and you know how much contractors love extra garbage cans. So I think
that's true.
Yeah, so I snuck all around the construction sites looking for my garbage can, could not find it. Went all over the neighborhood looking for my garbage can. Could not find it. Could not figure out.
Would you say this story is almost half over?
Oh, my God, Andy. It's only 20%. It's only 20% done.
Yeah, okay. And then did you find any way to fast forward? Did you find it anywhere?
Yes, I found it.
Where did you find it, Ken?
In the woods.
Who took it to the woods?
A bear.
Is that a true story?
It's a true story.
How do you know it was a bear?
because he took it before the garbage had been picked up. So he took.
But how do you know a bear took it and left it in the woods? How do you know it wasn't some juvenile delinquent in the neighborhood?
If it was a juvenile delinquent,
yeah,
then it was a very weird, feral juvenile delinquent because they they dragged the whole garbage can full of garbage, mind you, into the woods. And then they ate all the garbage and left garbage everywhere.
Okay, it sounds
all over the woods.
It sounds to me like Albie, your mentally challenged neighbor.
Oh. Oh.
Well, you know how Albie likes to drag garbage cans around.
I didn't know that, but it does make sense.
Yeah.
He's somewhat feral.
He is somewhat feral. And it sounds like he was trying to frame the local bear population.
Could be. All right. I'm going to have a word with Albie.
Yeah.
Maybe not. He's a little scared.
Is there really an Albie?
No, there's not really an Albie. But there is somebody like that. There's Golf Cart Boy.
Yeah, Golf Cart Boy. That's who I meant. When I say Albie, that's a pseudonym.
I thought you knew Golf Cart Boy's real name.
Is there really a golf cart boy in your neighborhood?
Yes.
Yeah. It's him.
He drives the golf cart up and down.
I imagine he drives the golf cart.
Because he's not allowed to drive a car, you see. So he takes
Don't you need a license to drive a golf cart?
I don't think so. Otherwise, they wouldn't be letting Golf Cart Boy drive around.
I think Golf Cart Boy is a scafflaw. I think he's breaking the law.
I don't know if he is. He never takes the golf cart onto the main road.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe
He takes the golf cart down the side road, and when he gets to the main road, he parks the golf cart there, and then he walks. Then he walks a mile to the nearest store.
You got to love Golf Cart Boy. He's got his own style.
He does.
What time is I haven't seen the new schedule. What time is Golf Cart Boy's show on?
That's a great idea. I should offer
I can't imagine a kid like that not being offered a
show. I should offer Golf Cart Boy his own show. Hey, we got some calls. Hang on a second.
Wait, what number are they calling?
201-209-9368. And, okay.
Is that a new number?
No, it's close to the old number. Okay. It's virtually the same number as the old number.
Every digit is identical.
Yes.
And they're all... And it's in the same sequence.
Right. But we gave it a different name.
You emphasize the ones and the three differently.
So let's go to the phones, Andy, shall we?
You do whatever you want, son.
Hi, you're on the air. Do you have a mystery for Andy to solve?
It's not a Hitchcock.
No, start over again. Start over again. Now you're on the air.
It's not like a Hitchcock. It's more like a Ruth Rendell, Patricia Highsmith, psychological.
Okay, tell Andy and he will solve it for you.
So there's somebody in your family or somebody in your life that has a dark side.
So you raise a child, lovely, normal house, normal mother and father. Everything is normal, sort of, son. And then you end up with a Trump child whose sole life, goal in life, is to own a gun.
Well, okay. why doesn't he own a gun already?
Well, he just got the job that got him one. So, but I'm curious how it got there in a Ruth Rendell, Patricia Highsmith, psychodrama kind of way.
Well, I think this is a really simple mystery to solve. Don't
a child
you,
of
Andy?
Yours?
I believe it is a child of a child of somebody's, Andy.
Well, I guess he's rebelling against his. Either one or both of his parents in some way.
Bingo! Mystery solved.
Mystery solved? Well, this is going to be a lot easier than I thought.
I thought it was going to be more intriguing and complex of an explanation, to be honest.
No.
No, you screwed up as a parent from the get-go, from the jump.
But I was too nice.
Yeah, you have to mislead. You have to mislead your kids.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, good luck with everything, folks. Thanks, Mon.
Okay.
Yeah,
thanks, Mon.
Well, that wasn't really a mystery.
No, that was a very easy mystery.
That was just some family issues just kind of being aired.
I mean, doesn't it always happen like that?
I guess it always does. Yeah, the kids go their own way,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah.
Wouldn't you say you did that? Like, neither one of your parents operated a failed radio network, did they?
No, no.
There you go. You went your own way.
They did not. Yes, that's true. Yeah, my dad was an uber capitalist. So, yeah, I kind of did.
Yeah, exactly.
I kind of did rebel. Yep. Hi there. You're on the air. Do you have a mystery for Andy to solve?
Yeah, I sure do. Hi, guys. It's Brian from Aurora.
Hi, Brian.
Hey. I was listening to Ken's show this morning. It was okay. Who the hell was that guy? That's the mystery I want to know. That wasn't Ken.
Oh, that was Darren. I did not do my show this morning.
Yeah. It didn't sound like you.
Interesting story as to why I did not do my show this morning.
Why?
Oh, God. Oh, God. An interesting story. Brace yourself.
I bet it is.
Ken would know an interesting story if it crawled up his butt.
It involves a boiler.
Dear God.
I can tell you that.
Dear God.
Ken, I work in HVAC. I work in hydronics.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're the person I wanted to talk to.
I honestly thought 20 seconds ago this call could not get worse, and I stand corrected.
But caller,
it's been pretty good.
We do have other calls, so we're two for two. Thank you for calling, Brian.
Yep.
And Aurora.
Did you really have a boiler problem this morning, Kenny?
My lake house has been destroyed.
No, it hasn't.
Yes, it has.
Wait, how so? Wait, by a gas leak?
No, it froze up and flooded, and pipes popped all over the place. The boiler did break, and the house froze up.
Wait. Is it uninhabitable at the moment?
Yes.
Oh, Kenny. Oh, buddy, I'm sorry.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm surprised.
Oh, buddy.
I'm surprised you're being so empathic.
Oh, no, it's important to pretend to really care about your friends. That's how you maintain your friendship.
I'm going to pretend that that's so nice. That you're saying.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks, man. Your house froze up.
Yeah.
Now, in your heart of hearts, is there any way to blame your wife for this? Is there any way to get there?
Oh, absolutely.
Tell me. Oh, there you go.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. How did you do it? I knew you. By the way, I never lost faith in you.
Thank you.
Blame your wife. Go ahead. Because that's your strength.
Yeah.
It's almost like a superpower.
Yes, absolutely.
How can
it
you
is.
Blame? So it was a disaster. It happened remotely.
Right.
You were both 100 miles away.
Uh-huh.
Tell the world how it was your wife's fault.
She was supposed to install a Nest thermostat.
There it is.
There you go.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well, that's how it's done, guys. That you learned from the master.
All right.
Well,
We have another mystery for you to solve, Andy.
Ed Friedman has never been stumped, by the way. You name anything that goes wrong in his life, and he can blame his wife. That'll be next week's show. How can you get there? How can you get from A to B?
Well, you're not going to be here next week, right?
Oh, no. Next week I will not
be. Yeah, that's why I need clips. I need listeners to make those rare moments when the show is laugh out loud funny.
Yeah, when your standards are so low in life, when you're so depressed that you find our show laugh out loud funny, or we're also hoping to pre-record some quiz shows. If you can put together 10 questions,
how is that going to work? You ghosted me for 2 weeks, and then the one time you made available to me for quizzes was Friday night at 9 o'clock. After ghosting me for 2 weeks.
I'm a working man, Ken.
Yeah.
We're working hard here.
So don't even bother bringing up the quizzes. We have people who want to give us quizzes.
I will carve out time. I will to pre-tape this. Talk to Eve and make a
okay,
schedule.
Okay, so that's...
Talk to my boy Friday.
Talk to your assistant. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I'll make the time. But if you have a quiz that you'd like to give us, we'll make it work.
Yeah, well, we have 3 people who have offered to give quizzes, but...
We're going
to
do it. We're going to do it, buddy.
You've been the missing link, my friend.
Now, wait. Let's see. Okay, I know I've let you down. I know I haven't returned your calls. Let's see if I can blame my wife somehow.
Yeah, figure it out.
Okay?
Okay. Because I was emailing you, say, give me a time when you can do some quizzes.
I was about to call you and set up a time when Beth preemptively called me and started whining and complaining about...
Did she have her period?
It might have been her period, yeah. Probably was her period.
So I'm on the air.
You are on the air.
Every 28 days on the calendar, there's big red X's on the calendar.
But why didn't you call me after that phone call was done?
Those big red X's mean keep your head down, son.
Big red X's, huh? That's interesting. We used to have a voodoo doll.
Yeah.
We had a voodoo doll, and any time my wife was having her period, she was supposed to take it out of the cabinet and put it on the kitchen table, so I knew.
It really was funny. Every 28 days, I became impossible to talk to. It really was an interesting phenomenon.
I see. Okay.
Okay, so...
We have a caller.
We have a caller. The caller dialed 201-209-9368. The caller, we haven't really solved a real mystery yet, have we?
Well, we've solved two fake mysteries.
Yeah, that's something.
Yeah. Hi, you're on the air.
I have a lame mystery.
Okay.
This is Sam the appraiser.
Hi, Sam.
Okay, we'll listen to your mystery, and we'll try our best to blame Ken's wife.
Yeah. This is actually about my brother's wife. Well, so, okay, every year my extended family rents a house on Cape Cod. For the last several years, my mom rents this house from a friend of hers. And anyway, this year, my mom said, the house isn't really available. I tried and it's mostly full. There's only a few dates in June, but we don't really want to go in June. She emailed us. So I emailed back and I was like, oh, that's a bummer. Are you sure we can't go the last week of July like we usually go? Did you ask about that? She said, yeah, it's not available. And I'm thinking, why didn't my mom jump on this sooner? Then my stepsister writes back and she's like, well, we've really loved staying there, but we're totally fine with not going there this summer. And I'm like, what? Is she just being polite or is she? I was like, how can you be fine with not going there? That's weird to me. So the mystery to me is she being polite or does she actually not want to go there and she's glad we're not going, probably because she doesn't like me, or what's really going on there?
Well, the obvious theory would be she's just trying to make your mom keep your mom from feeling guilty or feeling bad about dropping the ball, right? I mean, your sister's a very considerate person, right?
But it made me angry though. I was like, how can you not be annoyed that we're not going? To me, that's a insulting.
Well, okay. What would you prefer your sister responded? What
kind of response? I would prefer she'd say, "Oh God, really? We're not. Oh, that's so annoying. Oh well, okay. I guess we'll make other plans." But boy, that's rough. That's what I would have liked to hear.
Man, your life is blessed. If this is your problem, man,
I'm sorry.
Man, you've got sunshine coming out your butt. Man, it's all rainbows and lollipops in your world. This is your problem?
It's not a problem. It's a mystery.
The tone of your sister's text, your sister, your polite, sensitive, considerate sister.
Okay.
Well,
sorry.
Your sister's going. I mean, when your mom dies, is there an estate? Is there a will that your sister is jockeying for to get the lion's share of the estate when your mom passes?
Don't think so.
Well. Does your family have money? Your mom, does she have money?
Ooh, yeah, some money.
Yeah, some money. That explains
not
a lot,
like
doesn't
Breckman
it?
Money. Not Breckman money, but I mean.
Your sister's burying her way up your mom's butt, right? Kissing your mom's butt.
Yeah, but.
You'll see, when your mom passes and they open the will, when the estate lawyer reads the will, you're going to wish you sent a similar text.
What if my mom's taking it the way I am, though, like, oh, you don't even care we're not going, so maybe you weren't really into it, that's
oh, yeah, you're right. Maybe this is an opening for you. Maybe this is an opening for you to jockey your way in front of your sister.
I think that's what it is.
I think my mom's going to say, you know, Sam really cared about this, and he's upset we're not going. Whereas this other one just doesn't.
It's an opportunity, yeah. Oh, I can't believe we're not getting together. I've just been drinking myself into a stupor. I just feel terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? Why don't you all just and they don't care? That's like the worst thing ever.
Now, where are you in Cape Cod? Is that where you normally? You know what? I think there's more than one house in Cape Cod. I've seen aerial footage of Cape Cod.
Yeah.
There might be other houses available.
Really?
Yeah. It's not just one house.
It's that developed now?
It's that developed. It's not 1398.
We're not living in the dark ages.
Yeah. There are multiple houses. I'll bet you a nickel you could find another house.
Did they have electricity?
I don't know. It's going to be all sold out by now.
Yeah, they have electricity because your wife wasn't in charge of running the heating service. And installing the heating equipment, so all those houses, are available to be occupied.
But even if I found another house, would my sister-in-law want to come?
You'd be the hero, Sam.
Yeah, and then she'd be like, "Oh, great! Oh, we're going."
Why don't you text everybody a link to some Airbnb house in Cape Cod?
Yeah,
this one looks so groovy. Hey, it's available in the third week of July.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I guess that would solve the mystery.
I think your sister's hiding something, Sam.
Yeah.
I think Andy's off base. I don't know, an affair?
Yeah, affair. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
The only way Ken would be so sure of that is if he himself was involved in the affair.
Yeah, how do you know about that, Ken?
Yeah, how do you know about the affair, Ken? There's your mystery being solved, guys.
You mean the affair that I'm having with Sam's sister?
Yeah, that's the one I'm referring to. The one where you planned to sweep her off her feet and take her to Paris the third week of July.
Yeah, why do you know so much about that?
Yeah, exactly.
Did I let that slip?
Yeah.
Damn.
Why do you always put Sam on hold forever?
Sam,
you're afraid of being discovered.
Sam, don't tell anybody.
Well, Darren already announced it on the air this morning.
Oh, man. I'm never asking him to fill in again.
Let's see if Ken can blame the affair he's having on his own current wife. Good luck, buddy.
Thank you, Sam. We're moving on.
All right. Thanks for your help.
Oh, and we lost the other call.
That's how you do it, kids. If you ever want to be a DJ, that's how you get calls to be dropped.
The switchboard was full, but now it's empty, so call back at 201-209-9368. You're tuned into Well-Dressed Fancy Dandies with Ken and Andy. We are looking for new theme songs that we will audition 2 weeks from tonight when Andy returns.
We could call the show Big a shiny new empty switchboard with Ken and Andy.
Oh no! It was decided during the fundraising marathon, Andy.
Yeah, I know. I'm just making a joke. I'm making a very funny joke.
Oh hey, I needed to ask you some details about our song, the record that we're putting out. It's ready to be manufactured.
Oh, fantastic! Oh, I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, and I'm assuming you want copyright and publishing rights on the song, right? Because you wrote it.
I think me writing the song entitles me to credit and copyright protection.
Okay.
Yes,
but then WFMU is going to own the master. Is that okay? Put it on, make the
whatever makes you happy.
The master.
Yes.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. Back to the phones.
I'm on the record. I'm agreeing with everything you're saying.
Okay.
201-209-9368.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Jeff from Baltimore, and I've got a mystery. It's sort of like a missing person, or at least to me. I met a real-life savant, I believe to be a real-life savant, in a thrift store, and I've been trying to track him down, because they're very rare, and I feel like there's a gift here that needs to be known to the world.
Now, when you say savant, you mean like Rain Man? Like you dropped,
yes,
you dropped some matches on the floor, and he immediately knew.
Did you feel he was on the spectrum? Is that like Rain Man? Was that your sense?
Yeah, very much. So what happened was that he came up to me, I started talking to him, and he was telling me all the prices of everything. Like I was holding something, he goes, "That's not a good price." And he would rattle off prices. And I thought he was just, you know, very unusual. And basically, I can give you some details or just cut to the chase. But apparently what he does, because he's about maybe 40 to 50 years old. He was with his mother, who was like 80. He sits on eBay all day long and memorizes everything on eBay and then comes to thrift stores and identifies things and knows their prices from eBay. And he was rattling them off. And I'm like, he's either crazy or he's right or he's a savant. And I basically determined he was a savant. So and then I was like, this is amazing. So I went to his mother. I said, could you contact me? Because, and she all of a sudden got very
skittish. Why would you want this person in your life?
Well, I feel like, I mean, savants are very rare. And like the people, like, you know, they sometimes have people who want to understand them and their programs for them. And I feel like this guy's frittering away, like wasting away in Baltimore at home, just looking at eBay when he's got this amazing gift.
It sounds like the hero of the story really is his mother, who's probably very patient and has her hands full with this kid, you know?
No. I'm sure she's his caretaker, but she was very annoyed by this. Like I could tell she felt like he was wasting his life. She's like, "Oh, Ray, he just sits and be on eBay all day, and he doesn't, like, you know, that's all he does, and then wants to come." And I was like, "This is a gift. This is amazing." And she
do you mean you'd buy him a ticket to L.A.? If it was me, I'd buy him a ticket to L.A. and get him on The Price is Right.
Exactly. I was like, you could just come with me and we'll walk around thrift stores and identify something that's grossly underpriced and we'll buy it and then actually sell it on eBay or something like that. But I just feel like he should be want to say like studied by science, like he's a specimen because he's a person and he deserves to be respected. But he's got a gift.
And to monetize for your own selfish ends, to monetize his illness.
Well, that is something I thought about, but that would not be that's just one option. But
it's not an illness, Andy. It's a gift.
Like help him.
Well, it's like Tom
Cruise
taking.
So I don't know how to find this guy. So I actually, I was about to give her my card, and she was like, I guess she like thought I was trying to do something weird, and just like they took off. Yeah. So I went around, and then I didn't see where they went. I asked the cashier, who kind of like, they come in here every once in a while. And then I was like, if you ever see them again, but I've not been able to, I don't know what to do. I want to find this.
So Andy, you asked
the mother for private time with her autistic son.
Well, not private time. I was like, can you contact me? Because I think this is an amazing thing. Like, this is very special. And she's like, oh, it's, you know, he just sits on eBay. What's special?
One way to reach him would be list something on eBay that you know would appeal to him, that would be irresistible to him. He would contact you there, because you know he's on eBay.
But you know he's on eBay. It's amazing, like I would just pick stuff up and I'd say, is this a good price? And he would either take it out of my hand and put it back if he thought it was a bad price, or he would like leave it in my hand if it was a good price. It was so much fun. I was having the best time with him for like 10 minutes, and then his mother comes over and goes, "Oh, Ray, don't bother the man." His name's Ray, by the way.
Ray.
Goes, "Ray, don't bother him." And I was like, no, this is amazing. I'm like fascinated by this. And then I was like, how does he know these prices?
But that 10-minute encounter with this kid isn't enough to satisfy you. You want more.
I just feel like, I mean, like, there's only a handful of savants known in the whole world. This is an amazing thing. Like, the real-life Kim Peek, who was Rain Man was based on, he goes to Oxford and people, you know, he learns from, you know, they do positive things.
But wait, if you go, well, I mean, another solution would be go from thrift store to thrift store, and somebody that works at one thrift store would know him well. I assume he's been going from thrift store to thrift store himself, right?
Yeah, I asked the cashier, and I gave the cashier my card. I said, if you ever see them again, call me immediately, but I never heard anything back.
Well, that was thrift store A, and I would go to thrift store B, C, and D. You know, a more interesting mystery might be what happened to that cashier. You know, everybody in your life, everybody in your life seems, everybody in your life seems to disappear.
I would say, you know, he's in Baltimore. His name is Ray, and it sounds like he's on the spectrum. So, you know, maybe there's groups that he might be a part of for people who are on the spectrum in Baltimore.
Is there a free-form radio station in Baltimore? Maybe he's the station manager.
No, there is not one.
See, that's what I fear. I fear, like, he never got the proper care or special education that he needed, never as part of any of these groups. He's just there with his mom sitting on eBay, and his mom doesn't recognize any of these amazing things. And I'm sure she takes good care of him, but, like,
now,
not
of the four people, you, me, Ken, or Ray, who do you think's happier in their life, more content in their life?
Ray.
Answer is Ray. Believe me, it's Ray.
Yeah, it is Ray. Ray's a gold mine, Jeff.
He has a hobby that he loves. He has a mother that caters to his every whim.
Oh my God! If he could do this with Rare Records, you could make a ton of money. Yeah,
let's bring Ray.
I bet
to
you
the
he does
sale.
If they're on eBay, which they are. He probably knows them inside and out.
You gotta find Ray and bring him to the next WFMU Record Fair.
Oh man, it'd be amazing. That's why I'm trying to track down Ray. I don't know what to do. It's a mystery.
Well,
although the last thing your vendors want, Ken, is somebody that knows the actual value of those records.
How many Rays could there be in Baltimore, Jeff? Come on, just contact contract every Ray or Raymond in Baltimore,
or
I doubt,
hire
like,
a skywriter.
Kind of phone book or anything. I don't know if he even has his own phone.
I haven't seen a phone book in 50 years.
Yeah, like I mean, you can like look stuff up. I don't know. You know, it's like how do you even? I don't know. Okay, I guess I'll try to.
Well,
good luck, Jeff.
If you're describing him accurately, the odds are, I'd say 50-50, that he's listening to our show right now.
He could be, while he's on
eBay. Mentally challenged, lives at home, doesn't have a job, lives with his mother, sad sack. That's our audience.
What social media platform is most favored by people who are on the spectrum?
eBay.
Yeah, is there like an eBay social?
I don't
You'd
know.
You'd probably be on that.
Not really, no.
Yeah.
Well, good luck, Jeff. Find him.
Okay.
Ray is a gold mine. Now, who do you feel more sorry for, Ken? I'm going to list two people. Tell me who you feel more sorry for in life. Jeff or Ray? Ray is living in his mother's basement, happy as a clam, on the internet, all day long, looking at eBay merchandise, or Jeff, who's looking for Ray.
I feel more sorry for Jeff. Ray.
Yeah, it's the right answer is Jeff.
Hi. You're on the air. Who's this?
Excellent. This is Andrew in Newark.
Hi, Andrew in Newark. Do you have a mystery?
And a question of who to blame, okay?
Okay.
We can get to your wife. Are you a married man?
I am not. I'm eternally single.
This is going to be tough. Do you have a?
Listen, it's also tectonic adjacent.
Okay.
Yeah, just out of that word buzzer. All right. So if you heard in the headlines last week, there was a matter of a girl that was terribly depressed and had problems because of Facebook. She was awarded $6 million in court.
Right. I saw that story.
And hey, that's a big windfall. That's a thing in the right direction because that could add up to a lot.
No, that is more money than I make in a week.
So that could start an avalanche, and accountability for them. Okay, then I heard it reported again, and I heard that her mother and her were awarded it, and it just hit me a different way, and it made me think about it. Because at first I'm like, Like, how great is your life if you're depressed, because of your experience with social networking? But then I'm like, wait a minute. Her mother, like, I'm not faulting the girl at all. That's the point. You raised someone or didn't raise them at all. Like, there's no, how much parental supervision is going into a girl who was able to spend that much time on the on her phone?
So you don't think the mom deserves the $3 million?
Essentially, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Not that I don't want this to go through, but then it's just a question of like, well, who's to blame here?
Wait a minute. Why are we even? I don't know. Okay, No, Ken, this is just not working because we don't have even anywhere close to enough information. You know, when I was a kid and taking quizzes, math quizzes, and they were multiple choice quizzes, it was either A, B, C, and then D was often not enough information. That was a choice that you had when you were taking a math test. You just don't have enough information to answer. Like right now, sir.
Much time to engage in something that, I mean, how could you ever think?
But you don't have enough information. You don't know the details of the court case. You don't know the details of her complaint. You just don't know. It just is. You're not giving us anywhere near enough information to even offer
opinion.
You
know that her addiction to social media was so.
But Andrew, what's the mystery that you want us to solve here?
The mystery was like, who's really to blame here?
Oh, for the love of God! It's just
mother,
it's just,
I guess. Or I guess I just wanted to say tectonic adjacent and talk about this, just that you know, really, how great is your life? That, you know what I mean? That's your biggest depression.
Well, Mark Zuckerberg's to blame. Mystery solved.
For that and more.
Mystery solved. Thank you, Andrew.
Dear God, Andrew's never resisted a clickbait headline in his life. Dear God, it means nothing. That story means nothing. You don't know the details of that story.
I don't know if Mom deserves $3 million.
You don't know. You don't know the story. You don't know their relationship. You don't know the complaint. You don't know who is interacting with her on Facebook. You have no idea. You don't have anywhere even close to enough information to offer an opinion.
I have all the information I need.
You do, but I'm talking about adults.
I think Mom deserves $1.2 million.
Oh, for the love of God.
And the rest should go to the girl.
Okay. That's the problem with our society.
What exactly?
There's five entries on Reddit. There's a couple of guys on Google, on Twitter, and now that's all I need. I have my opinion. It's formed. I have enough information.
All right, Andy Breckman here is solving your personal mysteries. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Missy from Vernon.
Hi, Missy.
So it's like a years-long mystery with quite possibly like a pattern. Mm-hmm. So when I was 8 and my sister was 9, before we were, you know, we got ready for school and stuff like that. And as we were walking down the steps, she was angry at me because I was wearing a dress that she wanted to wear.
Uh-huh.
And the next thing you knew, I was at the bottom of the steps. And I swear she pushed me.
I'm sure she pushed you.
So fast forward 10 years later, we're living together in an apartment and we're getting ready for work and stuff like that. Uh-huh. And on our way to leave work, we had a set of outdoor steps that I ended up falling down and I swear I felt a push.
I'm sure she pushed you again.
She denies it.
Yeah.
But wait, how can you not know if you were pushed or not? I don't understand.
You know, the whole thing was just crazy. Like, before I knew it, I was, like, on my stomach going down backwards like an otter.
But everyone knows whether they're pushed.
And then my leg got caught
around
the rung, and it spun me around.
Hang on. Missy, is your sister a serial pusher?
I think maybe.
Then that mystery solved.
It feels like a pattern, right? I don't go on steps with her anymore.
What
but
the hell are you
just,
both talking
like
about? How can you not know if you were pushed? I mean, I'm assuming that you're not on shrooms and you're not drunk. How can you not know if somebody pushed you? How can that be a mystery?
Okay, so I wasn't on drugs or anything or drunk, but I didn't, when I was younger, I didn't sleep. I felt like it was optional. So I might have been incredibly tired, and maybe she saw that weak moment and used it.